వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 234. యది సత్యం భవేద్ విశ్వం సుషుప్తా ఉపలభ్యతాం ఎన్నోపలభ్యతే కించిత్ అతో సత్స్వప్న వన్మృష. సో హియర్ శంకరాచార్య గివ్స్ అనదర్ సపోర్ట్, ఎక్స్పెరిమెంటల్ సపోర్ట్, ఇట్స్ అన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్షియల్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్పెరిమెంటల్ సపోర్ట్ టు పాయింట్ అవుట్ దట్ ది వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ రియల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది ఇంట్రెన్సిక్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఆర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద సపోర్ట్ ఆచార్య వాంట్స్ టు గివ్ హియర్? వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈస్ ది ఇంట్రెన్సిక్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఎనిథింగ్, ఇట్ విల్ బి పర్మనెంట్లీ దేర్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంట్రెన్సిక్. For example, like heat in the fire, where heat is not the intrinsic nature of water. So water is hot for some time because when you heat the water and when the source of heat is removed, water becomes cold. Similarly, I want to find out what is my intrinsic nature, and if I really start to analyze my purushattvam, that I am a human being, emotional person, all those things, all these attributes that I possess are all incidental attributes only, experienced in jagrat avastha, the waking state, and also in swapna avastha, in the dream state. In sushupti avastha, all these attributes are shed, and still I exist. My physical, my emotional, my intellectual personality, they are all gone. And what remains? I, the Chaitanya Tattvam, that alone remains. And what is the proof for that? That I am able to talk about the absence of everything in sleep itself, that is the proof. Therefore, the Chaitanya Swarupa alone is real, and whatever Achaitanya aspect that I experience, they are all unreal. And once I establish the unreality of my physical, emotional, intellectual, all those aspects, I can extend it to the world also, because the very proof for the world is my physicality. Only when I am identified with the physical body, I experience the world. Therefore, the physical body and the physical world are of similar nature. You know how the Acharya develops it? Therefore, if the physical body is proved to be unreal, I can extend it to the physical world also. And Shankaracharya, he goes by this approach. So, prove the unreality of the body in Sushupti, in the deep sleep state, then you have proved the unreality of the physical world also. Why? Body and world have got similar status. Both are pancha bhaudika and are subject to arrival and departure, or appear and disappear. This is not a proving logic actually. This is a supporting logic for what the Shruti has already talked about. Shruti has talked, Vedas have talked about it all the time. We use a different definition for this in Vedanta as unreal. That's what we do. Yat vyabhicharat swarupam. What appears and disappears, that is unreal. What is the example? Swapna prapancha, the dream universe. And extending this logic, Shankaracharya, he argues that Jagrat Prapancha also is exactly like the Swapna Prapancha only. This world also is tangible, is also useful, and is capable of generating raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, and above all fear, bhayam. It can, the dream also creates fear in me, the prapancha also can. So it enjoys the same status as the dream world. Vyabhicharat swarupam. Therefore, what is the logic? Jagrat prapanchaha mithya vyabhicharat swarupatvate swapnavate. This argument is used by Gaudapada Acharya actually, elaborately in the Mandukya Karika, in the second chapter, in the Vaitatya Prakarana. That's what Swamiji quotes. So that is the idea that Shankaracharya also uses in one sloka here. Yadi satyam bhavet vishvam sushuptau upalabhyatam. ఇఫ్ యు లుక్ అట్ ద శ్లోక నౌ, ఇఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ రియల్, యది సత్యం భవేత్ విశ్వం సుషుప్తౌ ఉపలభ్యతాం. ఇఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ ఇస్ రియల్ లైక్ చైతన్యం, చైతన్యం ఇస్ రియల్ అండ్ ఇస్ అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ద స్టేట్స్, వెరాస్ స్వప్న విచ్ ఇస్ అన్ రియల్ ఈస్ అవైలబుల్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ సర్టన్ టైమ్స్. వాట్ ఈస్ అన్రియలీ ఈస్ పార్షియలీ అవైలబుల్, వాట్ ఈస్ రియల్ ఈస్ ఎవర్ అవైలబుల్. కీపింగ్ దిస్ మ్యాక్సిమ్, వీ కెన్ కాల్ దిస్ మేబీ ఎ మ్యాక్సిమ్, దిస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వ్యాప్తి ఇన్ లాజికల్ లాంగ్వేజ్. వ్యాప్తి అప్లయింగ్ దిస్ మ్యాక్సిమ్ శంకరాచార్య యాస్, ఇఫ్ జాగ్రత్ ప్రపంచ ఆల్సో ఈస్ రియల్, ఇట్ షుడ్ బి ఆల్సో పర్మనెంట్లీ అవైలబుల్. బట్ వాట్ ఈస్ అవర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్? హీ సేస్ యది విశ్వం సత్యం భవేత్, ఇఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ రియల్, సుషుప్తౌ ఉపలభ్యతాం, లెట్ ఇట్ బి అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ సుషుప్తి అవస్థ ఆల్సో ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఇస్ రియల్. లైక్ వాట్? చైతన్యవత్, లైక్ ద చైతన్యం విచ్ ఇస్ అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ సుషుప్తి ఆల్సో. బట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద ఫ్యాక్ట్? కించిత్ న ఉపలభ్యతే, నథింగ్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ ఇన్ డీప్ స్లీప్, నథింగ్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ ఇన్ సుషుప్తి, సుషుప్తావు. అండ్ వెన్ వి సే నథింగ్ వి షుడ్ ఇన్క్లూడ్ దేశ, ద స్పేస్, కాల, ద టైమ్. సో ఈవెన్ టైమ్, నన్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ థింగ్స్, దేశ టైమ్, నన్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. వీఆర్ దేశ కాల అతీత డ్యూరింగ్ వెన్, డ్యూరింగ్ సుషుప్తి ఇన్ డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్. వెన్ దేశ అండ్ కాల ఆర్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్, వాట్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ థింగ్స్, బికాస్ థింగ్స్ క్యాన్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ స్పేస్ అండ్ టైమ్, దేశ అండ్ కాల. సో దేశ కాల పదార్థ ఆల్ ఆర్ గాన్ ఇన్ సుషుప్తి. దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్? ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు అరైవల్ అండ్ డిపార్చర్. లైక్ వాట్? స్వప్నవత్, లైక్ డ్రీమ్. ఆర్ అనదర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇస్ రజ్జు సర్పవత్, అవర్ రోప్ స్నేక్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, వెరీ ఫెమిలియర్. ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ లైన్ యత్ సిన్స్ ఆర్ యత్ మీన్స్ సిన్స్ ఆర్ యస్మాత్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ రీజన్, అతః దర్ఫోర్ అసత్, ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్, డిపెండెంట్లీ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్, డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆర్ చైతన్యం. ది ఎసెన్స్ ఇస్ వాట్? నథింగ్ క్యాన్ బి ప్రూవ్డ్ టు బి ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ వితౌట్ ది సపోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దట్ ఈస్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్. బికాస్ టు సే సంథింగ్ ఈస్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్, వాట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ నీడెడ్? సమ్వన్ హ్యాస్ టు బి అవేర్ ఆఫ్ దాట్. That is, it should fall within the scope of consciousness. Suppose I accept the existence of something without falling within the scope of consciousness, then what will be the tragedy? If things are existent, even if not available for consciousness, then I will say, for example, that there is an elephant in this room. Then you may ask me, how do you say that there is an elephant? I don't see it. If you say that, I will say, no, this is an elephant which no one can see, no one can hear, no one can smell, no one can touch, and is not available for any experimentation at all. Now, will you accept the existence of such an object? We won't. Anything, if it is not available for knowledge through some means or the other, we won't. Either perceptual knowledge or inferential knowledge, or any one of the five pramanas, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, all that. This is the Vedantic maxim called, this is called manadita meya shakti. Manadita, manadina meya shakti, siddhi, this is a siddhi. In Vedanta, it's called meya means object. And any object is proved only if it is knowable. And Krishna requires what? Consciousness. Knowledge requires consciousness. Therefore, the existence of anything depends on knowledge. Existence of anything depends on knowledge, and knowledge depends on consciousness, and therefore any existence depends on consciousness. Therefore, asat. The entire jagat prapancha, jagrat prapancha is asat. Entire jagrat is prapancha, because it depends on what? It depends on my perception. And Acharya wants to prove that through this example, swapnavat mrisha, it is unreal like the swapna. Mrisha means unreal. dependently existent. That's what it means. Like Swapna, the dream. All the details of these discussions are all available in, actually, in the Vaitatya Prakarana, which I mentioned, the Mandukya Karika Acharya has already mentioned this. So we cannot go through those details here, but Shankaracharya, he hints at it in the Viveka Chudamani, in the Shloka. Shloka 235. Atak prithang nasti jagat paratmanaha prithak pratiti stumrisha gunadivate. ఆరోపితస్యాస్తి కిమర్థవత్త అధిష్టానమాభాతి తథా భ్రమేణ. సో ఆచార్య ఈస్ నౌ ట్రయింగ్ టు వైండ్ అప్ ద డిస్కషన్ దట్ ఎనీ ఇనర్ట్ మ్యాటర్ డిపెండ్స్ ఆన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఫార్ ఇట్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అండ్ వరల్డ్ ఈస్ ఇనర్ట్ మ్యాటర్ అండ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్ దర్ ఫోర్ ద వరల్డ్ డిపెండ్స్ ఆన్ బ్రహ్మన్ for its existence. And so, world is mithya and Brahman is satyam. Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. That is what is said here. Ataha. Akataha means because of shruti pramanam. Because of the pramanam of the Vedas and smriti pramanam and yukti. So, all these things. So, we already told all this. Anything has to be supported by all this. Shruti Pramanam, Smriti Pramanam and Yukti, logic. So, when we say logic, it is not a dry logic also. But Shruti supported logic. And finally, our experience also. What experience? Jagradavastha, Supnavastha, Sushupti Avastha. So, Shruti, Smriti, Yukti, Anubhava. All those should go together. Because of these four supports, ataha. Jagat prithak nasti. The world does not exist independent of, separate from. Actually, we don't say the word, it is not there, and put a full stop. We don't do that. We have to be very careful. We have to always say, world does not exist independently. Mithya means that. We don't say, world does not exist, put a full stop. World does not exist independently. I don't say desk is not there. I only say desk is not there separate from wood. I don't say ornament is not there, but I say ornament is not there separate from gold. So here also, the world does not exist. Prithak. Prithak means separate from, distinct from. Paratmanaha. Paratmanaha refers to Brahman. That means world is mithya and Brahman is satyam. But I do experience it separately. If someone says, Shankaracharya says, because people might say, I experience the world separately, Brahman is separate. People, Shankaracharya says, it is born out of one's delusion or confusion. Because when we give a separate name, we think it is a separate object. This is our orientation. Remember actually the inventory example that we gave in the previous webinar? When we have 10 names, we will look for 10 objects. 10 namas and 10 namis or padarthas. That is our orientation. That's how we think. But what Vedanta says, it need not be true always. When one word refers to karanam and another one refers to karyam, the effect, the words can be many. But the substance is only one. Vedanta says that Brahman and world are two words only, but not two substances. World is another name for Brahman, just as bangle is another name for gold. So he says, prithak pratitihi tu. The idea of duality, plurality, difference, notion of difference, caused by many names that we have invented. All these names, who has invented? We have invented. According to Vedanta, the ultimate samsara is only verbal. Therefore, prithak pratitihi tu. The idea of duality, the consequent limitation, the birth, all of them. If you call it, for example, a wave, you are a samsari. Because you will talk about the birth of a wave, then consequent death of the wave, the mortality. Whereas if you use the word water, then the thought of mortality is gone. How? A difference in word brings about a difference in the very concept itself. That is why they say, don't ask what is in a name. People normally ask, what is in a name? There is a lot in a name. That is why they say, you should not call a country as undeveloped or underdeveloped. It is an insult. But call it as a developing country. Perhaps it will ever be a developing country, but still call it developing, not underdeveloped or undeveloped. Or you should not call a person, a handicapped person, or physically challenged, or mentally impaired, retarded, none of those. But call them as differently abled. Similarly, don't call a barber shop. Call it as a hairdresser. Words make the difference. So we have invented the words and we are trapped by them. At the same time, we should have different words for transaction also. If not, there will be a lot of confusion. Therefore, what Vedanta says is, let there be words for transaction. But you remember, the words have only transactional reality. This is called Vyavaharika Satyam, empirical reality, practical reality. Use it only for empirical purpose. Don't take it deep into one's heart. And therefore, prithak pratitihi. Then the notion of plurality is an error, mrisha. It is a confusion. Like what? Gunadivat. See, there is an alternative reading also here, which is better actually, Swamiji says. It is gunahivat. Gunaha means rope and ahi means snake. So, guna ahi means rope snake. So, we are very familiar with this example of rope snake. So, guna means rope and ahi means snake. So, gunahi means rope snake. So, rope snake is seemingly different from rope. But there is no substantial snake other than rope. What is the reason? He says, Aropitasya arthavatta kim asti. Can a superimposed thing have substantiality? Like what? Can bangle or chain have substantiality? They are all superimposed namarupa. So, arthavatta kim asti. Actually, this is not a question. It means it can never have substantiality at all. Then, what is the appearance? What is in the appearance there? He says, adhishtanam eva tatha abhati. It is one substance which appears in manifold manner. It is one gold that appears in varieties of ornaments. Adhishtanam, it is one substratum, one substance alone appearing manifold pluralistically. Therefore, use the plurality, but don't lean upon it. Vedanta always tells, use the plurality, nothing harm, no harm, but don't lean on it. Remember the example of the hardboard chair that we gave in the last webinar? The whole world is like a hardboard chair, only without any substantiality of its own. And there is only one basic substance, which is Brahman, the consciousness principle. So, adhishtanam eva tatha abhati. Because of what? So, this is Brahmena. He says the reason for that is Brahma. Brahma means of confusion or aberration. Because of that, this is what we think. Shloka 236. Brantasya yadyat brahmata pratitam brahmaiva tattat rajatam hi shuktihi idantaya brahma sadaiva rupyate tvaropitam brahmani nama matram. Yat pratitam tattat brahmaiva. Whatever is experienced by us, it is all Brahman. Just like in the ocean, whether you experience a wave, whether you experience a bubble or a froth, all are nothing but what? One water only, which is called ocean, which is called wave, a bubble, a froth, all of them. So many names. They are all different names only for the one substance. Similarly, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatenagantavyam, Brahmakarmasamadnav. So all those things. Brahmaivaita tamritam purastat brahma paschat, all those things, everything is Brahman only. We should remember. Therefore, yathu yathu pratitam, whatever is experienced pluralistically, brahmataha, because of Brahma, because of confusion, tat tat, all those things are brahmaiva, is nothing but Brahman only, brahmaiva. Like what? He is giving here an example. Rajatam hi shuktihi. The shuktihi. Shuktihi means the mother of pearls, pearl. The shell seen in the beach, you know, it looks so bright and clean and all so nice. That shell, which is white, which is shining and can reflect the sunlight so nicely, powerfully, it appears like a silver coin. When you go to the beach and look at these shells, they are lying there. Then when they reflect the sunlight, they appear as though they are silver coins. This is called shell silver. In Vedanta, they give these two examples very often. One is called rope snakes example. Another is the shell silver example. And why two examples? That also we have to understand. Rope snake is the example to show how an unreal snake can frighten me and create dvesha or hatred in me. Because what do? We run away. When we think that the snake, the rope is a snake, we run away from that. This is nivritti. And shell silver is the example to show how an unreal thing produces a raga or pravritti. So rope snake gives me nivritti or hatred, vesha, and shell silver gives me raga or pravritti. So dvesha and nivritti. So this is dhyodhanartham, raju sarpaha. And raga and pravritti dhyodhanartham, it is shell silver. So an unreal can produce raga and dvesha, and the whole world is like rope snake and shell silver. So as far as Vedanta is concerned, even one's dearest child is like shell silver only. These are all frightening examples. So even once, however close a person is, they are all like shell silver. And even your worst enemy is like rope snake only. Then what is the reality? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavih hastini shunicha ivashvapake cha panditaha samadarshinaha. There is neither scope for raga nor dvesha. There is only one Brahman, which is neither an object of raga nor dvesha. Aheyam, anupadeyam, Brahma. So that is that Brahman. In Lalita Sahasranam, we have these beautiful names. Heyopadeya Varjita, Aheyam, and Anupadeyam. There is nothing to be rejected, nor to be acquired in life. But I have many things to acquire and reject. Shankaracharya says, Brantasya. They are all Branti. They all come under the Branta category, delusion, confusion category. Idam taya brahma sadaiva rupyate. It's another beautiful idea is brought out here. When a person sees rope snake, he shows his hand and says, this is a snake. In this statement, there are actually two parts. Now, the next portion is going to be a little touchy kind of thing. We have to be a little more close in our hearing. Actually, when we say this is a snake, he shows this the rope and says this is a snake. And if you take this statement, there are two parts to this statement. One is this, which refers to whatever is there right in front. He shows his hand, this, right in front. And what is in front? The rope. Therefore, this refers to, because in reality, what is there is rope. So this refers to rope, which is perceived by the eyes. And therefore, relatively speaking, this is real. Because rope only is there. This means what? This part of the statement, when we say this is a snake, in that statement, this part of the statement, the thisness that I am saying is what is perceived by the eyes, which is called Samanya Amsha. That this part is real. Because that refers to rope only, that is real. My perception is different, but that is real. So this is called the Samanyamsha. And what about the is part? This is the snake. So this part is real. And what about the is part? The is part also is real because both are real. What is the second part of the statement? What is unreal now? So this part and this part both are, they both are real. And what is the second part of the statement which is unreal? The snake part is unreal. This is snake. This is real. Snake is unreal. So in the statement, the first part consisting of this and is real, which corresponds to the rope, and the snake part is unreal. How do you know? When you flash a flashlight and go near, in the statement, which part will get negated? Only the snake part only will get negated. So retaining this and is which were perceived. So in the this is snake, this and this are real and snake is unreal. Therefore, what is negatable is unreal, because you negated the snake by flashing the light. So what is negatable is unreal. What is unnegatable or unnegated is real. This is unnegated. Whereas snake is negated. So snake is unreal and this is real. So what is negatable is unreal. What is unnegatable or unnegated is real. It's a very, very interesting argument. There are so many advanced texts, granthas, just studying the rope snake for hundreds of pages in Tarka and all this logic and all those arguments. That is, this is real and the snake is unreal. Now, Shankaracharya says, when you say this is world, in that statement also, there are two parts. This is, there is something existent, that part. And what is the second part? The world. Shankaracharya says, in this also, the world part is unreal because it will be negated when you study Vedanta. So when you come to study Vedanta, you will negate the world. But what will be retained? This is. So in the statement, this is world, this is part will be retained and the world will be negated. World will be replaced by what? By Brahman. That is, this is Brahma. That is Brahma. He is Brahma. She is Brahma. Everything is Sarvam Brahmamayam. Sarvam Kaluidam Brahma. And therefore, in any error, the first part is real and the second part is unreal. These are all generalized statements. There is no such thing called total error, because total error is impossible according to these arguments. Because every error must have a reality underneath to call it an error also. That isness that reveals the existence which belongs to Brahman. Therefore, he says, idam taya brahmaiva grihyate. You are grasping Brahman alone without knowing it is Brahman. Whenever you say this is, when you said this is snake, when you said this is, you are really grasping Brahman. Snake became unreal. Exactly like when you say this is, you are perceiving the rope alone, not totally. You are only partially grasping the rope. Suppose you don't grasp the rope completely. For example, in pitch darkness, you don't see neither rope nor the snake, anything. There is no snake appearing at all because pitch dark. So if it is totally bright also, you will grasp the rope only. No problem. If it is very bright, you will never mistake the rope to be a snake. Then also there is no snake. Therefore, complete ignorance of rope, there is no snake. And complete knowledge of rope, there is no snake. But when does the snake appear? Partial grasping of the truth. Then alone the snake appears in a twilight when the light is not well. At that time when you look at the rope, you think it can be a snake. Similarly, when you grasp the world partially, there you grasp the truth also partially. And what is the truth? Truth is Brahman. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, everybody grasps Brahman partially. Through what statement? When we say, this is, we grasp Brahman only, but when we complete the statement, when we say this is, if we start, stop with that, no problem. But when we say this is the world, this is this, this is that, when you say all that thing, then only problems come. When we complete the statement, our delusion comes out. Instead of saying this is Brahman, we end up saying what? This is world. So he says, Sada Eva, always. Brahmaiva Rupyate, Brahman alone is grasped. All the time, Brahman alone is grasped and expressed also. By what? Idam Taya, by the expression. For example, this is pen, this is table, this is chair. In all these statements, this is part. That is, you grasp only Brahman. Then, Aropitam Brahmani Nama Matram. Whatever in the later part of the sentence, whatever you say, what is that? This is pencil, this is book, this is father, this is mother, this is Akasha, this is Vayu. All these later parts are all what? Nama Matram. They are all mere names only. Mere namas superimposed on Brahman. So we should never say that we have never experienced Brahman at all. None of us can ever say that we never experienced Brahman. If you don't experience Brahman, you cannot mistake Brahman. Because mistaking requires what? Taking in the place. You are grasping, you cannot mistake in emptiness. Therefore, we all have got grasping of Brahman, but upon the grasped Brahman, we have superimposed some extra thing. Remove them, and what is left out, that is Brahman. These arguments are rather slightly tricky, but when we really analyze them a little more carefully, we will understand that, you know, they are all so very nice and extremely very nicely logically developed. Shloka 237. Ata param brahma sadadvitiyam vishuddha vijnana ghanan niranjanam prashanta madhyanta vihinam akriyam nirantara ananda rasaswarupam. All are beautiful shlokas. Shankaracharya, he continues the description of Brahman further. But there is a change in the mode of description. In the Shastras, now some more details we will look into now. In the Shastras, a description of a thing is done generally by two methods. I might have mentioned this earlier, I don't remember, but still, let me go through it again. One is called Tatastha Lakshanam, description from the standpoint of something else indirectly. That is an indirect definition, or from an extraneous angle, extrinsic definition. For example, like describing Rama as Dasaratha's son, or husband of Sita, brother of Lakshmana, all those things, they are Dasaratha and Ram, Sita, Lakshmana, they are not integral part of Rama. And tatastham tate tishtati iti tatastaha, that which is not intrinsic. Tata means distantly, away, asangaha. Unconnected. That is tataha. In Shastras, actually, they give an example. For example, somebody went to a new development. And in the development, all houses are constructed identical. They all look very similar. And somebody wanted to locate someone's house. So he asked somebody, where is this so-and-so's house? That person said, you know, that house on which a crow is perched, that is that house you are looking for. Actually, this is an example given in the Shastras. I'm not inventing. They have given this. So now you go to that house where the crow is perched and you know that house now. So that after that, once you know that, after that, one does not need the crow anymore to find the house later. Similarly, once Brahman is known, one can drop the Jagat Karanam, because we now talk about Brahman as Jagat Karanam, the cause for the universe. But once Brahman is known, that Jagat Karanam can be removed. We can drop that. And this is called Tatastha Lakshanam. And the second one is called Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam means through intrinsic features. For example, when you want to talk about Rama, Rama's height is this, Rama's weight, Rama is Ajanubahu, Aravinda Dalaya Dakshaha. So all those things, people describe all those features of a person directly, that is called Swarupa Lakshanam. And both from relative angles only, not from Vedantic angle. We have to understand that clearly. Both are relative only. So until now, Brahman was described as Jagat Karanam. Because of the world, Brahman was described in terms of the world, which is not an intrinsic part of Brahman. And so it is Tatastha Lakshanam. So far, whatever definition, whatever description we have had of Brahman, they are all indirect definitions only. Generally, that is the method used in the beginning. Go to the unknown through the known. So now on, the second description, from its intrinsic features, the Swarupa Lakshanam, that is going to be given from now on. So the following shlokas, 237 onwards, it is this definition, that is the main definition that Shankaracharya is going to give. So until now, it is Tatastha Lakshanam, and it is important because in Tatastha Lakshanam, indirect definition alone, Brahman is said to be the Karanam, and world is said to be the Karyam, the cause and effect. Only when we say world as Karyam, the Mithyatvam of the world can be established. Only when we say world is Karyam, the effect, then only we can say it is Mithya, Mithyatvam of the world, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, that Mithyatvam can be established. So in Swarupa Lakshanam, Jagat Mithyatvam cannot come at all. So Swarupa Lakshanam will not give the Mithyatvam, the Mithya nature of the world. Only Tatastha Lakshanam will give you that. That is why it is important. Because there, we don't say that Brahman is Karanam. In Swarupa Lakshanam, we don't say Brahman is Karanam, and so world is not Karyam also. Then how to prove the Mithyatvam of the world? Therefore, Jagan Mithyatva Siddhaye Tatastha Lakshanam Uktam Ita Param Brahmanaha Swarupa Lakshanam Uchyate. The world is not an intrinsic part of Brahman. If it is, then Brahman will have Sa avayatvam, avayavatvam, division. If Brahman is part of the world, Brahman will have divisions, will have modifications. All these four shlokas about Brahman Swarupa Lakshanam, they talk about them. Shloka starting from 237. So now let us look at the shloka. Atha param brahma. Actually, here in this shloka, the verb is missing. So we have to connect it from the next shloka. The next shloka, the last word, that is chakashti. That is the word that we have to take. So there will be, so prakashate, so shines. So the Brahman Swarupa Lakshanam, so that verb is, it's given in the second shloka, the last word, chakashate. So chakashti, so prakashate. And the verb shines means what? It is evident, recognized or understood. Because after Tatastha Lakshanam alone, we go to Swarupa Lakshanam. That is normally the development. That is because normally, you know, we indirectly give so many other things to come to the known part. That is why Shankaracharya uses the word Athaparam. Now, let us see the words describing Brahman here. The first word is what? Brahman itself. Brahman means what? It's infinite. It is the biggest. And then Sati. Sat means of the nature of existence. Here existence is a noun. This also we told earlier. Existence is a noun, not as adjectival. What is the difference between a noun existence and an adjectival existence? If you look at the difference, it is, if it is an adjective, it does not have independent existence, but has to depend on a noun. For example, if you take a word like tallness, tallness is an abstract noun, but tallness reveals a property which cannot exist independently, but it always has to go with something like a tall tree, tall man. So tallness doesn't exist independently. Similarly, we know the word existent as part of something. Man is existent, woman is existent, camera is existent, computer is existent. So we know the word existent as an adjective belonging to a noun, a property belonging to a substance. that is called relative existence or vyavaharika sat. I'm just going through definition of various terms. So vyavaharika sat means the one that will have a dependent existence. Brahman is defined as the absolute sat, which is a noun and not an adjective, which is not dependent on a substance, or on the other hand, all substances are dependent on Brahman, that existence with a capital E. So Sat means existence with capital E, and therefore only Advitiyam, without a second. Advitiyam means without a second. It is non-dual. Why it is non-dual? If existence is a property of an adjective, object, then as many objects are there, so many properties also will be there. Like if there are two tall trees, for example, there is the first tree which is tall, which is an independent property belonging to tree one. And again, tallness is a property of number two, second tree also. So the tallness, distinct properties, distinct substances, and in between the two trees, the tallness does not exist. We have one tall tree, another tall tree. In between the two tall trees, the tallness does not exist. Similarly, if existence is understood as an adjective, then it will be pluralistic. So like camera is, pen is, chair is, man is, all that. But what do we say? Non-adjective existence, but existence as a noun, and so it is non-dual. In fact, it is one existence in which all the pluralistic names and forms, they are all loaded or they are all embossed. Therefore, it is Advitiyam. That is only one existence in which all pluralistic names and forms are all loaded. As Shankaracharya describes this, he keeps the Upanishadic statement in mind. Actually, we told it should be supported by Shruti, Smriti and logic and experience. So, Acharya is having the Shruti words in mind when he writes this. We should remember the pure existence is not available for human derivation. We have to be very careful. Pure existence or absolute existence, whatever it is not available for any human derivation. It is not a humanly derived idea. It cannot be perceived through the senses, nor can we derive scientifically also or logically. This existence is revealed by the shastras only. We can use intellect and perception only to assimilate the revelation, not to derive the revelation. There is a difference between deriving logic and assimilating logic. We never use deriving logic, but use only assimilating logic, because these statements are given by Shruti. And therefore, what is the Upanishadic revelation that is kept in mind in this case? It is from the Chandogya Upanishad. Actually, Swami says the 6th chapter, section 2, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Very powerful statement. Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Three words to describe the non-duality. Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit. Before creation, Idamagra Asit, pure existence alone was there. Sateva. That was there without any division. And that is said here, Advitiyam Sate. And Vishuddha Vijnana Ghanam. And which is a pure mass of consciousness. Pure mass of consciousness. Pure consciousness. Here, Shankaracharya, he keeps the Taittiriya Upanishad in mind when he writes this particular word. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Second chapter, Taittiriya Upanishad. So, Vishuddha Vijnana means what? Consciousness as a noun and not as an adjective. Shuddha Vijnanam. Our empirical experience reveals consciousness only as a property. That is where our experience. We think consciousness as a property. That's what the Charvakas, the materialists, they all say consciousness is a property. We say the body is a conscious body. It's a sentient body. So consciousness is only experienced as a property of matter in our day-to-day experience. Never have we seen consciousness as a noun. We have never and will never be able to separate consciousness from matter and experience it at all independently. Therefore, our knowledge of consciousness is what? As a property of matter. Consciousness as a separate entity, how do we know? The Shruti reveals Vijnana Ganaha. That Ganaha, that means what? It is the consciousness itself. Vishuddha means unmixed with matter. Vishuddha Vijnana Ganam. And therefore only it is Niranjanam. Niranjanam means without any impurity. Asangatvat Niranjanam. Like space, which can never get tainted by anything. Everything happens in space, but space never gets tainted by anything. And Prashantam, it is ever tranquil. Sound does not disturb it. It is always in peace. And Adyanta Vihinam, without beginning, Adi and end, Antam. Actually, both space-wise and time-wise, we have to understand. So, beyond space and time, these are all Brahman. Transcending time and space. Then Akriyam. Akriyam means Kriya Rahitam, without any action, Kriya. Therefore, even the word Brahman creates is not the correct thing. Because if you say Brahman creates the world, then Brahman creates an action. Then how do we understand that statement? Then we say Brahman creates the world as though. Brahman creates the world as though. Krishna says it very beautifully. Tasya kartaram api mam vidya kartaram avyayam. Kartaram, I am the creator of the world. And at the same time, vidya akartaram, I am not the creator also. Just as I create the dream world without any motion, I am just happily lying in my bed only. But the entire dream world I created, motionlessly lying down. And the dream world dances in me without touching me. Similarly, Brahman is actionless, akriyam. Then Nirantara Ananda Rasa Swarupam. It is of the nature of pure Ananda. Nirantara means without any gap, which is Purnaha. So Purna Ananda Swarupam. And here we have said this actually many times. Whenever Brahman is defined as Ananda, the word Ananda should not be translated by any word indicating experiential pleasure. This we mentioned many times earlier, like joy, ecstasy, bliss. None of those things can translate Ananda. And why do we say so? Because the moment we use an experiential word, it is indicative of time. Because all experiences are time bound. There is no timeless experience. Timeless experience is an oxymoron, they say. It is a contradiction in terms, because the avastha is changing. Any experience depends on mind. And since mind is a constantly fluctuating entity, even if you experience something continuously in the waking stage, it will go off when you sleep. And even if you go to the state of samadhi, for example, continuously experience some whatever it is, from samadhi, when you come out, then it will be all gone. That's so whenever Brahman is defined as Ananda, we have to translate it as Anantaha, Purnata. We have already told this earlier, Ananda means Ananta, which is a non-experiential nature. Fullness or Ananta is the best translation, fullness in English and Ananta in Sanskrit. Never use any experiential word like joy or bliss or happiness. And as a result of this knowledge, the mind will get fullness. It will experience Purnata, which is experiential. That is a different thing. So that's a different, Purnata is experiential. So palam of aham brahmasmi, knowledge is experienced, but not Brahman itself. We don't experience Brahman, but we experience the palam of Brahman knowledge. Therefore, Nirantara Ananda. That is why the word Nirantara becomes important. Nirantara means what? Unbroken ananda. And it has to be what? Ananta only. What can be unbroken ananda? It should be anantam. So nirantara ananda rasa means rasa is the same as ganam of the previous word. So which is in the second line. So ananda gana swarupam, we have to supply the verb actually from the next shloka, the last word. So chakasti. So such a Brahman becomes evident, such a becomes understandable. Shloka 238. Nirastamaya krita sarva bedam nityam sukam nishkalam aprameyam arupam avyaktam anakyam avyayam jyoti swayam kinchididam chakasti. So Acharya continues with the swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. Here he says nirasta maya krita sarva bedam. It is non-dual, free from all differences, sarva beda rahitam. And if you remember, it is the threefold differences. What are the ones? The sajatiya, vijatiya and swagata bedas. We already talked about it. Just to refresh, if you take the tree for example, difference from one tree and another tree, that is called sajatiya beda. Both trees belonging to the same tree species. And difference from a tree and a human being, it's a vijatiya beda, different species. And within the tree itself, when you talk about the internal differences, it is called swagata beta, the trunk, the flowers, the leaves. Even this distinction is also relative. One has to be careful. Suppose someone asks between tree and human being, is there sajatiya beda or vijatiya beda? If they ask the question, we should ask a counter question, what species is kept in mind? If you have tree species and human species in mind, then there is vijatiya beda. Suppose in your mind you have got chetana and achetana beda, then sentient species and insentient species, then it is sajatiya, because both of them come under the chetana tattvam. So whereas between tree and a stone, it will be vijatiya, because tree is sentient, stone is not. Therefore sajatiya vijatiya beda is a relative concept for understanding, it is not absolute. But Brahman is sarva beda rahitam. From any angle you look at. And why there is no Veda? Because there is nothing other than Brahman. And what about internal differences in Brahman? That also is not there. What about Sat, Chit and Ananda as three parts of Brahman? We can understand Sat, Chit, Ananda as three parts of Brahman. Then there can be difference, right? It cannot be three parts also. Because since if one part is Sat, and the other two parts are Chit and Ananda, then those will become Asat. If one part is Sat and Chit and Ananda, then they will become Asat. And so they cannot be separate parts. But they are three names for the same Brahman from three different angles signifying its nature. Like a person being called a father, a brother, a son, a husband, all that. Not that the head of the person is father, not the leg is brother, and the stomach is son and all that. Therefore, Brahman is swagata beda rahitam. Therefore, sarva bedam is nirastam. Free from, and actually free, and why it is free from all the divisions? That is maya kritam. All these divisions are created by what? Maya. That is, it is only an apparent division. It's a seeming division. It is not a real division. Like dream, for example. Then nityam. Nityam means it is eternal. It is timeless. Sukham. Some of the ideas are repeated also actually as seen earlier. Same as ananda. The sukham and ananda are nearly same. So here also we should remember, once we use the word sukham for Brahman and anantam, fullness. So it should never be translated. Sukham should never be translated into any experiential word as joy and happiness, but as purnatvam, anantam, fullness, should be understood not in terms of experiential pleasures. Then nishkalam, without any division, which is the corollary of sarva bedam, it is its extension only, this nishkalam, or nir avayavam. That is why personal God is only an intermediary stage. For example, we worship any personal God, Ganapati, Ambika, or Shiva, Vishnu. That is only an intermediary stage for knowing Brahman. Because personal God has got all the avayavas, hands, head, legs, eyes, all those things. That is why we say we have to go beyond the personal God if you want to know the truth. And that is why in Kenopanishad it is said, Nedam Yaditam Upasate. All personal gods you worship are not the ultimate reality. Nedam Yaditam Upasate. And that does not mean that personal gods should not be worshipped. We should not go to that conclusion. One should not go to that extreme at all in interpreting that. Through personal God alone, you go to the impersonal God. Here, we are talking about the impersonal one, the Nishkalam. And Apremeyam, it's another beautiful word, not an object of knowledge. Why? There are several reasons. But one simple one which we know is, if it is an object of knowledge, it will fall within the division of knower, known and the knowing, the Triputi, means an instrument. So if Brahman is Prameyam, there will be a Pramata and a Pramanam. So Pramatru, Pramana, Prameya, Beda, they will come if you interpret that way. So in the first line only, we have said Nirastha Maya Krita Sarva Bedam. From that itself, we know it is Pramatru, Prameya, Pramana, Rupa, Veda, Rahitatvata, Aprameyam, Brahma. It is not an object of knowledge. And we have to always add, it cannot be known. But it need not be known as an object also. Because a question is what? If it can never be known, how to prove its existence? People will immediately ask that question. If it never be known, how to prove its existence? Because we can prove the existence only through knowledge, any existence. How do scientists they prove that there is a star? Before saying there is a star, they have used some telescope. You know, there is a Chandra telescope named after Chandrasekhar. That telescope discovers now a lot of new things also. So the first condition is what? First condition to prove existence is you should know. So if you say Brahman cannot be known, then how will you know it? No, it is. So it is a basic question that will come all the time. And the real answer to that question will come later. Acharya is going to talk about it later. Because he is going to say, Tat Tvam Asi. When he comes to the Mahavakya portion. So you cannot know. You need not know. Because it is the very essence of the knower. He is going to talk about it later. Therefore, it need not be proved at all. That is Brahman, he will say later. So, Aprameyam, unknowable. Then, Arupam. Arupam means formless. Because once there is a form, then there is division. Then there is limitation. And if Brahman is divisionless, it has to be necessarily limitless also. Again, we have to keep it in mind, the Kathopanishad, we already went through this discussion. Ashabdam asparsham arupam avyayam tatarasam nityam agandavachayatam anadyanantam mahataparam dhruvam nichayatan mrityumukat pramuchyate. Very nice slokas. So all these we should remember. It is ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, asar, arasam, so agandam, all those things. So avyaktam. Avyakta means indriya agocharam, not available for any sensory perception. And therefore, not available for inference also. Because inference is based on what? Sensory data. And so, where data is not available, there can be no inference also. So, ananumeyam. Anumeyam is also not there. So, avyaktam. Then, anakyam. Anakyam means without any name, nameless. Really speaking, it cannot be given any name at all. But people might ask the question, why you are calling it then Brahman and Atman and all those names? All these names are from the standpoint of the relative world. When you talk about Brahman as infinite, it is because you have the concept of finite. We are all familiar only with the concept of finite from experience. You are able to define Brahman as infinite. Similarly, every other name is from the standpoint of worldly experience only, empirical experience. Therefore, the real name of Brahman is what? Maunavyakya prakatita para brahma tattvam yuvanam maunavyakya. Then we can ask the question, is silence the name? Then for that, Swamiji very jokingly says, what should one say for that? one has to only keep quiet, because the moment I say silence, it is no more silence. Therefore, anakyam. Then, anamakam arupakam. So, actually in Mandukya Karika again, anakyam means namarahitam. Then, avyayam, that which cannot decline, the one that cannot decline. So, decayless. So, apakshayarahitam. So, growing old, all those things, senility, Brahman does not have any of those. Then jyotihi, jyotihi, swayam jyotihi, self-evident. It does not require any other proof at all, because later it is going to be revealed as consciousness. If one thing does not require proof, what is that? It is consciousness only. It does not require proof, because everything is proved by consciousness. And if consciousness requires a proof, then what do we need? We need another consciousness. Therefore, being of the nature of consciousness, existence does not require proof. So, an articular existence requires proof. All other things, you know, a particular existence. If you talk about a particular requirements, existence, that requires a proof. So, sound existence, for example, requires ears. Form existence requires eyes. So, particular existence, that requires particular instrument. Whereas pure existence does not require pure proof at all, because it is consciousness itself. They are all beautiful revelation. So we can tie the whole teaching together, and it is worth meditating on and on. So once we hear all of them, they look to be a lot of jumble of so many ideas. But once we reflect upon them again and again, that makes enormous sense. Until we are able to tie up all these definitions. So the definitions are many, but the defined thing is only one. Like Sahasranama, Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, the Nami is only one, but the Namas are so many. And if we can all the definitions in one sweep, if you go through them, and later the defined entity as myself, he is going to say. So we are saying all these as definitions of Brahman later. After Mahavakya Vichara, we have to come back to this definition and see that Arupam is myself, Anakyam is myself, Nirastha Mayakrita Sarva Bedam is myself, I am in all this. That is what is going to be revealed later. So Shankaracharya will do all this homework for us and try to establish it later to us. So Swayam Jyotihi, self-evident, Idam Kinchit Chakasti. This Brahman, when he says actually, why he says kinchit chakasti, kinchit? Because you have ultimately say something you have to say, because you cannot clearly and categorically define Brahman. So we have to say something, because we cannot categorically define it otherwise. Because definition is only from a relative standpoint, not from absolute standpoint. Actually, the absolute standpoint, that itself is a misnomer. It's a contradiction. Because absolute is that in which there is no standpoint, even though we talk about it all those times. Because we talk about relative standpoint, so we have to use the term absolute standpoint. So from absolute standpoint, no name can be given for Brahman. That is why Shankaracharya says, kinchit, something. That Brahman chakasti, that Brahman shines. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha. తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య యపరస్స మహేశ్వరః శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.